Greetings in Jesus' name this winter cold morning. I hope that our hearts are warm within, as we already talked about, because we have this hope in God, as the devotional leader brought out. It's good to be with you. Peace be to this house. Thank you for the invite, and we also bring greetings from the Sharksville congregation, and you're welcome to stop in and visit. We've seen some of you there already. We welcome you back anytime. For a message this morning, I'd like to talk about thankfulness. You may turn in your Bibles to Psalms 100. This is going to be the basis of the sermon this morning. I'd like to read this passage after the prelude. I'd like to read it together with you. The title of the message, I simply have, Be Thankful. Is Thanksgiving something that you wrestle with here? I would suppose you would face that. But the attitude and the mentality of this passage is thanksgiving and praise to God. And I believe God's heart rejoices as He sees His people worship and praise Him. And this passage leads us into that worship and praise. I'd like to make just a few observations in regards to this passage or other before we read it. First of all, I'd like to say that our outlook on life greatly impacts our thankfulness. I believe it permeates our whole life. You know, if you don't have a thankful attitude and you're unthankful, many times we don't see anything to rejoice in, right? What is there to say? What rejoicing is there to look at? And so it only sees what we don't have and what we could want or what we could have, and we don't. That line of thinking. And so, as we think of an unthankful heart, it won't be making a lot of joyful noise. It won't be equated with gladness and singing and praise to God like this passage leads us to in Psalms 100. But if you flip that around, an attitude, a thankful attitude, fits hand in hand with joy, with gladness, with singing, with blessing, with praise. See the opposites? And I don't believe the psalmist shares one complaint in this passage, unless I missed it. But you're welcome to pick that out. Show me sometime. But I don't see any. Do you think he didn't have anything to complain about? I think you probably could have, if you wanted to. But he didn't. Instead, he focuses on God. He turns his focus towards God. What a challenge for each one of us to have such praise and rejoicing in our hearts that come out in our actions. This morning, we're talking about thankfulness. We're talking about thanksgiving. The other observation I would make is that thanksgiving is not for a secluded group. This passage says, "All ye lands." You know, I believe God desires every being and every nation to bow before Him and worship and praise, rejoicing in His goodness. I don't think there's anything more that could bless God more than to fall on our face and fall on our knees and say, God, what a blessing You are. And it says somewhere in Scripture that every knee will bow and confess to the glory of the Lord sometime. If you don't do it now, you'll do it sometime. And so I believe worship is a Christian responsibility, rejoicing and gladness. But we must reckon that we were, as mankind, created with a free will. We have the power to choose. Thanksgiving is not about force, it's about a choice. You know, each one of us decides what we want to do with that. Another observation I'd like to make is that a proper view of God, a proper view of God and of oneself is an integral part of a thankful attitude, and we see that in verse 3. Know God. And then it talks about ourselves and who we are. And we'll consider that more fully as we go through the message. Also, I'd like to notice and have you notice the verbs reflected in this passage as we read or as you look over it, these few short five verses. Make in verse 1. In verse 2, we have serve. In verse 2, we also have come. And you will find the word know, and you will find the word enter. And I'd like to say this morning that it takes energy on our part to be thankful. It takes energy. Praise and thanksgiving are not our default setting. You know, sometimes we buy technology and computers and they're set up in the way we don't want to, and we have to go in and change the setting because the default setting does something we don't want it to do. Well, we gravitate towards being negative, don't we? In a complaining attitude. At least I find that for my own life. Well, this passage invites us to share thanksgiving verbally. And sometimes we may tell our children, or maybe if you're a school teacher, you might tell your student, or etc. I want you to count your blessings, because we're tired of their complaining. See? And that's not a bad idea. That's a good idea. But I do want to impress on our minds this morning that I'm talking more about a forced Thanksgiving where you are forced to say a few things, but rather thankfulness from the heart, or a mentality of life that we feel at peace within, and it flows from our hearts. And I sense that the heart cry of this passage in Psalm 100 is more than flattery, but I see it as a sincerity from the heart of David. And so I asked a question this morning, what is the attitude of our heart? What is it? And I hope, if you haven't been thankful this morning, I hope you can go out these doors feeling that way. Feeling thankful because of what God has done. And I hope to look at this passage and reflect some of the beauty that the psalmist wrote in this psalm. And there again, I want to say that Thanksgiving might not always be a feeling, or we need to be careful of our feelings. I understand sometimes we don't necessarily feel the best. But again, what about our mentality? What about our lifestyle? We're talking about Thanksgiving this morning. That's what we want to focus on. I'd like to read the passage at this time. I'd like if you could all stand, those of you who care to and can. And I'd like to read Psalms 100 together. Starting at verse 1, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You may be seated. Thank you. And so let's ask a few questions. You can check out your own life. Have you been making joyful noises to the Lord? Is that coming from your heart? Are we serving the Lord with gladness? Have we come into his presence with singing? We've heard singing this morning, didn't we? But you know what? We can still check our own hearts. Have we entered into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise? Have we recognized the goodness of God and his mercy that is everlasting and his truth that endures to all generation? What a beautiful psalm of praise and worship, of thanksgiving to God. I'd like to, this morning, share a few important keys to thanksgiving. I have five keys I'd like to talk about from this passage. Number one, the first key I have is the Lord, he is God. And I'd like to talk about two things. One is the attributes of God. What kind of God do you serve this morning? What kind of God do we serve? Have you ever thought about that lately? He's a God that dwells within, but as you look around and see the beauty of God, or when you read his word, what does it tell us about God? Don't we serve a God who's just? Don't we serve a God who's fair, who's righteous, who's kind, who's loving, who's caring, who's understanding, who's holy, who's compassionate, he's eternal? And the list could go on. The Lord, he is God. Have you ever had a hard time submitting to God? You know, I want you to think about the difference between who God is, or a dictator who forces you, tries to make you comply to worship him. And he uses you for pure advantage. That's not our God this morning. That's not who he is. We could think of a dictator who abuses and uses people for selfish gains. But again, that's not our God. Our God is a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's a loving God. We went over that list, and there's many more that we could talk about. Shouldn't that cause us to be thankful to God for who he is? Isn't it easier to submit to a God like that than a dictatorship who uses you and abuses you for his pure advantage? The Lord, he is God. I believe seeing God for who he is and seeing the attributes of God should be an important key for us in our thanksgiving. We have that foundation. The Lord, he is God. Secondly, I'd like to just talk about the sovereignty of God. And here I'd like to say that God has no equals. You know, imagine if God needed to submit to another being. You know, as we live in this world, it doesn't take us long to understand that world powers come and go. Presidents change. Rules change. Presidents have different goals and agendas. Currently, our president wants to build a wall. That's one of his goals right now. Okay? He's got that mindset to do that. And he will come and go, and there's a power that keeps him in check, right? Sure there is. The Democratic Party, or even the Republican Party, even his own party, keeps him in check. But you know what? God is sovereign. There's no one that's equal to God. There's no one that needs to keep God in check. God is the authority. He is the power. And think about the change that would bring if God would decide, well, today you have this set of rules, and tomorrow you have another set, and the next day you have another set. No. It's not our God. It'd be hard to worship someone like that, because you'd always weren't sure if you're following him or not, right? Because the rules change. Do you keep after all the rules in the world? No, they keep changing. But you know what? Our set of rules never change. God is sovereign. And he won't get pushed over. God isn't a pushover. Isn't that reason for us to be thankful? Because the Lord, he is God. What a security of a God who is the same that never changes from eternity past to eternity future. He is the same. Well, I'm sure the psalmist looked around and observe the turmoil and the grief of the people who didn't have the Lord, He is God. The insecurities that they had. And he probably looked around and he saw all the people who were serving the idols of the world, who couldn't have that security of an anchor like God. And I'd like to mention maybe a few of them just to get your mind spinning. I had a list of them and I did not bring that paper, but I think I'll just mention a few. Ashtoreth kind of gives the idea of plural. Remember we said God is sovereign. Yes, God is three in one, but God is sovereign. It's not the same kind of plural. We could talk about Baal, sun and storm god, involved probably with cult prostitution, sometimes human sacrifice. Is that a nice god to serve? No, it's horrible. Chemosh, cruel, also involved human sacrifice. Dagon, he had looked like a fish, but I think he had a human head. And you know, today we don't think so much about those idols, but they were more real as we looked at them at the Old Testament. And maybe they're more real in other cultures. We have gods in this world, but we don't think of it as so much as people making an idol. They do, but we don't think of it as quite as much as people making an idol and worshiping the idols. And so, as David looked around, or the psalmist here looked around, and he's seen the people worshiping these idols that couldn't do a thing. No sovereignty, no attributes. What did they have? Nothing. But God had a sovereign God. And so the psalmist could, with these five verses, bring out this beautiful passage of thanksgiving to God because of his anchor, the Lord. He is God. That was firm in his mind. And so he was filled with thanksgiving. Aren't we a blessed people who we can rejoice with thanksgiving because of our God? Number two, another important key for thankfulness is a phrase, He hath made us. He hath made us, in verse 3. We recognize as God is our creator. And there's two things I want to talk about. One is the security of knowing our origin. And we talked about the idols of the land and how the people were, well, maybe we didn't mention it, but the people were worshiping the idols we talked about. And the psalmist had an anchor to come back to. We talked about that. And he could come back to God with any of the challenges and any of the questions that he was confronted with. And I want to ask the question this morning, how would it be if we didn't know how we came into existence? What would that do to you if you didn't know how you came to be? How would that make you feel? That would be kind of scary, wouldn't it? If you think it through, it would. There's something about the turmoil of unanswered questions that haunt us, that would haunt us about the past, and not only the past but also the future. See, they're connected. And we know that the heart cry of our human heart is to have answers. And there's just so much rest in a foundational principle about God bringing all things into existence. There's something about that. The psalmist had the assurance of his beginning with God. And if God was in the beginning, he was also at the present. And if God was in the present, he would also be in the future. See? You know, it's interesting to me that many people want answers in their life, but they're rejecting the simple truth of God as the creator. And in doing so, they reap fear. They reap insecurity. Is it any wonder that the American people are so ungrateful? It's really not. He hath made us. The security of knowing our origin, that confidence does something for us. the world doesn't possess if they don't believe in God creating us. The Lord, He hath made us. A second part I'd like to talk about with that is we're created in His image. And I want to simply say that it gives us equal value. That this chapter doesn't make any reference to the fact that the psalmist may have struggled with his physical appearance or his abilities or had any feelings of inferiority. Doesn't really say that. He just praises God. He may have felt as a minority to worship God as he looked around the heathen nations and they seemed like they were worshiping idols, and many times even Israel itself had fallen into idolatry. But the writings indicate that he found his identity in God and was content to accept God, the creator of mankind. You know, he understood he was made in the image of God. You know, as human beings, we're not manufactured with mistakes. God has created all man equal, and that's been a challenge for the people of the world to accept that. No human race is superior to another race. Therefore, all men are called to treat all mankind with respect and dignity. Prejudiced and racist attitudes have caused some very cruel and inhumane treatment in this world. But you know what? If we're created in the image of God and we have value, each one of us is valuable. Each one of us is valuable. And David, I believe, understood some of that value. And because of that value, his heart could respond in praise to God. The Lord, He hath made us. Thirdly, another key that I would like to draw out from this passage, for a key to thankfulness, is we are His people. In verse 3, we are His people, and He illustrates us as the sheep of His pasture. And again, there's two things I'd like to talk about. The first one is his claim of ownership. What does it mean to you to be God's people? What does it mean to you to have God have a claim on your life? Does that mean anything to you? That God desires a personal relationship from within, that we can commune with Him, talk with Him. All of us want to belong, don't we? Sure we do. We like to belong. We want that security. We want that identity. And if it's not with the people of God, then your identity is going to be somewhere else. You're either going to be in a gang or a club or something. God had chosen Israel to be His special people. And even though many people rejected God and God removed His blessing from them, David had the comfort that God loved him and had chosen him to serve Him. And he could rest in that promise. And I'd just like to make that practical for our day today. Today we are God's people. I understand we're not the chosen people of Israel, but we are His people. And God has chosen us. Doesn't it say somewhere He has chosen us before the foundation of the world? And as Gentiles, we can be grafted in and receive the blessing of God on our life. We can have that claim of ownership. And this morning, if you have felt God's arms around you because of that claim, there's nothing else in the world that will compare to having that. God's arms wrapped around you. You know, there's something about that that brings us peace. To feel God's love in our hearts makes us rejoice. And it's something the world can't give to us, but it comes from something within. We are His people, a claim of ownership. We belong to God. The other part of that is responsibility and accountability. We are His people. No, we know who we follow. We know who we are accountable to because we've been told through His Word. Because we know that God never changes, and so His Word never changes, and so whatever's in this book we can live by and count on. You know, and as a carnal man, we don't like to live by other people's rules, unless you're different than I am. I like to be my own boss, I like to do my own thing, and you just stay back and let me do it. Okay? That's my carnal nature. That's the tendency of the human heart. And it requires submission to feel the God's blessing. I mentioned, it talked about illustrating us as sheep. And this requires submission. And so, in order for us to feel the tender shepherd's care, we're going to have to come under Him. See? We're responsible to Him. We're accountable to Him. We come under Him. And the shepherd will gently care for the sheep in order to meet their needs. But the sheep will need to submit to the shepherd. You know, the sheep that runs away is vulnerable. The sheep that runs away is scared. He's not within the fold. He doesn't have that protection. He doesn't have that blessing. The way to true happiness is submission to God. And we do well to recognize the blessing we have within the fold of God's care and God's people. We are His people. Shouldn't that give us reason to be thankful? God has a claim in our life. We are responsible and accountable to Him, but we know what to do, and we know how to get His blessing, and we know how to get peace. What a blessing. Are we thankful that we can be God's people? Fourthly, another key to being thankful, I simply have is this: enter into His gates and into His courts. You know, he starts this chapter with directives to worship God. And he shares aspects about God that help us to understand our blessings. And then as it goes on, it seems that he adds more intensity to admonish us to worship God with thanksgiving. Maybe to his excitement of meeting God's people, with God's people in the temple. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. It seems like he puts the fuel on. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I think he was a little bit excited. And so we asked the question, have we entered into God's house with thanksgiving and praise? And if we haven't, are we going to go out these doors with it? It's up to us. Do we praise God for the privilege of coming to his house? Is this a blessing to you, or do you wish, I wish I didn't have to come? Seeing the greatness of God should inspire us to bless Him. And that's what we do when we come to the house of God. We look into His Word and we see His greatness and His love. And we're just blessed by that. And it should cause us to see the wondrous works of God He bestows to us. And so as we think of entering into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, I'm just going to open it up. And I'd like to get a response from you. What are some things that you're thankful for this morning? I'll give you some time. Thank you. Anyone else? Let's hear some others. Thank you.
I'm thankful for the privilege of having God to talk to you, thankful I'm not here alone. I'm so thankful for other Christians.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Both sides are welcome. Anyone else? Thank you. Well, thank you for sharing. The list could go on. We could think of our families. We could think of our friends, our health, religious freedom. Some of those were mentioned. We have so much if we stop and think about it. A key to thankfulness. Enter into his gates and into his courts, because as we come to the house of God, we can be refreshed to recognize all we have. What a blessing. Fifthly, another key, the Lord is good. We see that in verse 5, the Lord is good. And I take this as an overall statement, a conclusive statement for every situation in life. The Lord, he is good. Whether life is treating us ill, whether life is treating us good, right? God is good. You know, in the eyes of us, in the eyes of mankind, when life isn't treating us well, we just think, God, you're not being very good to me, are you? Well, God has a reason. God has a purpose. But if you're serving God this morning, he will only bring those things into your life that are for your good. And I don't believe this morning is there any reason to be unthankful? I don't really think so. I think it could feel that way at times, but realistically, no. And so it seems to me that the psalmist is thinking in this case that if you still doubt God's goodness, if you're not sure if God is good, then I want you to consider two more things in this passage. And we're going to look at them. One was mentioned this morning. Everlasting mercy. What is God's everlasting mercy? God is good. And he goes on and he talks about mercy and truth. What is God's everlasting mercy? His mercy is his goodness and grace that is extended to us even though we don't deserve it. And God has shown it to us in the past. He has worked with God's people and brought them through life. What, the world is going 6,000 years now approximately. And God is still showing his mercy. I think it's a wonder that God is still continuing to work with his people, with the wickedness that abounds and how frail we are in our life. And the Bible says about Israel, many examples in the past are revealed to us of a stubborn and rebellious people. What does the Bible say? His hand is outstretched still. We're talking about his mercy. And I believe God continues to show us mercy in spite of our failures and sin. We have the promise, if we choose to serve God in this life, we will enjoy the mercy of God through eternity. And I can't explain the extent of that mercy. I can't explain that. But the Lord's mercy should cause us to respond in thankfulness. And maybe we could illustrate this a little bit from Psalms 136 as we think of God's mercy. Could you turn to Psalms 136? I think I would like to read this passage. And what I'm going to have you do, I'm going to read the first part, and you're going to say as the audience, for he is good, you're going to say, for his mercy endureth forever. That's going to be your part. I'm going to do the first part, and down through this whole passage, it's going to get a little repetitious, but think of God's mercy. So if you can to and care to, I would like if you could stand. Psalms 136. Everyone ready? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
For
Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone doth great wonders. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters. To him that made great lights. The sun to rule by day. The moon and the stars to rule by night. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn. And brought out Israel from among them. With a strong hand and with stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him which led his people through the wilderness. To him which smote great kings. And slew famous kings. Shihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, the king of Bashan. And gave their land for an inheritance. Even an inheritance unto Israel his servant. Who remembered us in our low estate. And who hath redeemed us from our enemies. Who giveth food to all flesh. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth. You may be seated. And his mercy still endures forever. The Lord is good. Secondly, we see that his truth endures to all generations. What is truth enduring to all generations? You know, in that passage, we seen how God worked in the past, didn't we? And how his mercy endured forever. And so many generations have come and many generations have gone. And today, we are in a generation. But in every generation, God reveals truth. He hasn't left us without hope, either by personal revelation, by the nation of Israel, by the law, by the prophets, and in these last days, by Jesus himself. Rahab is an example of truth revealed in past generations, and to be brought out from that sinful situation, to be brought in and brought in with the people of God, and then years later, out of her offspring, Christ came. His truth endures to all generation. And the psalmist here was a beneficiary of truth as well. You know, today we benefit from God's truth as well, because it's everlasting and his truth is enduring. And I'm just going to ask a few questions. What would it be like if we didn't know that we were going to meet God? What if God wouldn't have told you that you're going to die and at the end of the road, you're going to be judged? What if God wouldn't have told you that? You just have to figure out your own life. He wouldn't have gave you the word of God. He wouldn't have gave you any direction. He just brought you in the world and there you are. You decide for yourself what's right and wrong. If you happen to find me, then you make it. If not, tough luck. What would it be like if we didn't know how to get ready to meet God? To have that guilty feeling within our hearts and in our bosom, but we didn't know how to get rid of it. And we'd have the fear of death because we weren't sure. Well, God hasn't left us in darkness with no compass. He hasn't left us without directives for hope. And at the end of the life, he told us we'll be judged. But we have a right way to choose. There's a wrong way and there's a right way to choose. And even before creation, God planned to bring his Son Jesus Christ into this world to make a way to redeem us, to redeem fallen mankind so that he could be saved. And the Bible says, we can have eternal life. And so, the Lord is good. Should that phrase, the Lord is good, his everlasting mercy and his truth enduring to all generations, shouldn't that do something for us for Thanksgiving? I think so. And so this morning, God is good to us. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? Let's not miss the opportunities that God has given us, the blessings God has given us, because we're complaining and because we're looking at what we don't have. But let's see what we have and the blessings that we have. And I think from that, from out of our hearts, will flow thanksgiving. God bless you all. Let's kneel for prayer.